Philco Corporation, world's largest radio manufacturer, presents your Radio Hall of Fame. From the beautiful Earl Carroll Theater Restaurant in Hollywood, today and every Sunday for one full hour, the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements are brought to you by Philco Corporation. Makers today of radar and electronic equipment to help win the war, makers tomorrow of products for good living in a world at peace. Today, your Committee on Admissions welcomes Ella Logan, Kenny Baker, Ethel Smith, Vera Vaig, Anita Colby, Matty Malnick, and this session's Master of Ceremonies, George Jessel. You know, our problem with Mr. Jessel is not to tell you why he should be in the Hall of Fame, but to avoid using the next 10 or 15 minutes describing his qualifications. He's an expert in practically every branch of show business. A dramatic actor, a monologist, a star of musical comedy, an author of books, shows, and songs. At present, he is a producer with 20th Century Fox. He is furthermore a Toastmaster Supreme, proof of which is in his being selected to be Toastmaster at the dinner in honor of the President's fourth inaugural. But before we really use 15 minutes to build him up, here he is, Georgie Jessel.
Thank you, James, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It seems rather like old times being introduced by Jimmy Wallington. Jim introduced me the first time that I ever appeared on the radio. That was about 19... Oh, easy. However, since then, my activities have run the gamut, as those of you who are reading the columns are well aware. What happened to me shouldn't happen. Anyhow, I haven't been on the air very often lately, and only because of the pressure of producing motion pictures, although it is quite possible that I may be on the air very shortly, every week. I may go on for a very, very popular cola drink. As a matter of fact, my manager is over there now trying to make a deal with that company to get me the contract tomorrow. And if I get it, you have this from the depth of my heart, there is no finer drink, no more delicious ingredient in any drink in America than this certain cola. And if I don't get it, you can drink Krovny's hair tonic if you want. Incidentally, of the many public appearances I've made throughout the years, the most thrilling one was at a dinner in honor of the President and Vice President in Washington a fortnight ago. The visit to Washington is thrilling in itself. After the inaugural, there was a luncheon at the White House. Now, the Democratic spirit was prevalent in every mouthful of food. There was a large room for the Democrats, and there was room for the Republicans, too. Say, the President wasn't going to let Fowler eat alone. But, of course, the most discussed subject of the day, was the Manpower or National Service Act. And I can tell you something. There is a plan on foot for drafting men that is amazing. The postman delivers your questionnaire. He personally gives you your physical. If you're okay, he mails you immediately to Fort MacArthur. That's all there is. Hear that? Who is this fellow Hope? Anyway, we are living in such exciting times. Just think, ladies and gentlemen, just think. In 1 week, on the same day, Manila and Ella Flynn were both captured. And now... And now, my friends, follow me into the Radio Hall of Fame, for through these portals pass the most popular artists in America, and where the corridors will now echo to one of the finest tenor voices that has ever hit the airwaves, Kenny Baker's. Kenny made his radio debut on the Jack Benny program and climbed the ladder of success faster than another Jack went up the beanstalk. His subsequent appearances on the Fred Allen and the Kenny Baker shows confirmed his position as a radio luminary. He spiraled to musical comedy heights as a co-star in the Broadway hit One Touch of Venus. His records sell, over 1.5 million this yearly. Kenny Baker sings his way into his niche with the George Gershwin classic, It Ain't Necessarily So.
It ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so. The things that you preach is liable to teach you, it ain't necessarily so. Little David was small, but oh my. Little David was small, but oh my. He fought big Goliath, who lay down and diet. Little David was small, but oh my. Hoo-wah-hoo! Zim-zam-boodle-oo! Hoo-la-da-wa-da! A scary Jonah, he lived in a whale. Oh, Jonah, he lived in a whale. For he made his home in that fish's abdomen. Oh, Jonah, he lived in a whale.
Little Moses was found in a sea. Little Moses was found in a sea. He floated on water till old Pharaoh's daughter,
she fished him, she say, from that stream. To get into heaven, don't snap for a seven, live clean, don't have no faults.
Oh, I taste that fable whenever I'm able, but
with a grain of salt. Methuselah lived 900 years. Methuselah lived 900 years. But who calls that living when no one'll give in to no man what's 900 years? I'm preaching discernment to shore. It ain't Nessa, ain't Nessa, ain't Nessa, ain't Nessa. It ain't necessarily so.
That was Kenny Baker singing It Ain't Necessarily So, but it is necessarily so that Philco should have marvelous plans for radios in the post-war world, as Jimmy Wallington will verify. What about it, James?
Well, one of the first things America will buy after victory is a new radio or radio phonograph. And by an average of 3-1 over any other make, it will be a Philco. Yes, that's the evidence that comes from all parts of the country in impartial surveys of post-war buying preference. Everywhere, Philco is the overwhelming leader in present ownership and future preference. As the world's largest radio manufacturer and the leader of the industry for 12 straight years, Philco looks upon this universal public confidence as a challenge and an obligation. Philco engineers, whose laboratories today are devoted entirely to radar and the electronic miracles of modern warfare, have made vital contributions to the advance of electronic science. These will be reflected in the tone and performance of your post-war Philco, in the beauty of its cabinet design, and in the value you get at every price. Yes, you may look forward to your Philco radio or radio phonograph of tomorrow. In features, quality, and value, it will be worthy of your confidence today.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, several hip hip hoorays and assorted cheers for the Dean of Modern American Music, Mr. Paul Whiteman.
Hello, George, old boy, old boy.
Don't make me such an old boy. You seem very, very happy, Paul.
It's the warm weather out here, George. I love it.
Oh, my, it's a lot different from what they're having back east. I just got a letter from New York, and I learned that last week my aunt's little boy, Pillsbury, ran into her room and said, "Mama, Papa just slipped and fell into the furnace." And my aunt said, "Well, stoke him up. There's a coal shortage." And that leads me to, ask you what you've got cooking on the musical front burner right now.
Oh, our little now-and-then party. We deliver an old favorite tune the same way we used to put it across in the days when it first came out. Then we do it all over and give out with a streamlined, modern version.
And tell me, what are you streamlining today?
A tune called Sam. We're going to show you the way we used to play it way back in 1926 when a little old cornet player by the name of Bix Beiderbecke and two trumpeters named, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey used to write out a hot chorus.
Is that so? You mean the Dorsey brothers really played trumpet?
In those days they did, and there was a hot fiddle part that Matty Malick used to go to town with.
That's right. Now, Matty is a Whiteman alumnus, isn't he?
Yes, we announced that last week.
I know that, but I like to keep talking because it makes me feel better.
Well, he has a Whiteman diploma, and he used to play in my father's Sunday school orchestra.
Mm.
Now he's got a zillion commercials, and when it comes to playing a hot fiddle, well, they don't come any better.
Well, I'd certainly like to hear these boys play together.
Well, we don't have that old cornet and trumpet section, but we do have Matty Malik, who's going to join in with his sizzling violin in the 1926 version of Sam.
And now a 1945 edition of the same tune. A young girl named Barbara Allen was featured on a very popular Coast program a few years ago called Signal Carnival. Recently, she appeared as a featured player in a number of movies. She's one of the most popular comedians in radio, a permanent fixture on radio's number one comedy program, The Bob Hope Show. Ever heard of Barbara Allen? Huh? Well, you're more likely to recognize it when we say that by courtesy of our sponsor, Pepsodent, we now present the gal whose picture is on Jerry Colonna's Mustache Club, Vera V. Well, 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 Miss Vage. It certainly is a great pleasure to meet you.
Oh, thank you so much.
And before we go any further, I'd like to state that all the things Bob Hope has said about Miss Vague being man-crazy and unattractive are not true. As you can see for yourself, those present, she's very pretty and very, very charming.
Oh, well, bless your heart. You know, Mr. Jessel, Bob Hope only says those things about me because I don't give him a tumble.
Oh, is that so? Well, is Bob Hope a wolf?
Well, he's not exactly a wolf. He's a cocker spaniel with a prairie on his mind.
Oh. Why, Miss Vague, I always thought that Bob was a ladies' man. I heard that when he kisses a girl, it's murder.
Oh, yes, it might be. With that nose of his, he could stab her to death.
Tell me, Miss Vague, after a trip like yours, you must have formed some opinions of men from different sections of all over the country.
Oh, yes, indeed I have. Yes, now you take those northern men. Oh, they're the limit. They're always thinking about kissing a girl.
Really? And tell me, what about the southern men?
Well, they don't waste all that time thinking about it. Besides, you know, those southern men are so polite, they whistle back. You know, sometimes I wonder, Mr. Jessel, if men are worth all the trouble they give a girl. And why don't you give me some?
You're just kidding now. You must have a lot of dates.
Well, I did go out with a famous flying ace.
Doolittle?
Oh, we didn't even get started. Oh, what am I saying? You get me mixed up.
Tell me. Tell me, Miss Vague. When you travel around the country with Bob Hope, what accommodations does he get you?
Oh, beautiful accommodations, Mr. Jessel. I remember we were on our way to New York, and I had to get off in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't hang on any longer.
I get it.
Oh, c'est la guerre, I guess. That's French for move over, brother.
I thought so.
But, you know, I think the most difficult part of these trips is leaving my boyfriend Waldo behind.
Waldo, yes, I've heard a great deal about your boyfriend Waldo. Tell me, how is that liquor permit with legs?
Just what do you mean by that, Mr. Jessel?
Well, honey, I hear that fellow is so full of schnapps that any time he brushes elbows with anybody, they get an alcohol rub.
Oh, that isn't true.
Well, that's what I heard.
No, no, Waldo's a social lion. He's very prominent in Who's Who.
Really?
Of course, he's even more prominent in Here's How. But he's really wonderful and brave, too. You know, after they picked his number in the draft, he was so calm and collected. The first day, he marched 30 miles, Mr. Jessel. The second day, he marched 40 miles. Mm. The third day, his draft board caught up with him. But he, you know...
What?
That ball, though, is really fun. I must tell you, he took me over the other evening to the Palladium and taught me how to rumble.
He did? Well, it must be very difficult teaching a girl to rumble in one lesson.
Oh, no, no. It was very simple. He just told me to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and then shake everything in between.
Oh.
I think what I like most about Waldo is the way he makes love.
Well, tell me about it.
Oh, Mr. Jessel, when he presses me against his manly chest, I can almost feel the oak leaf cluster on his good conduct medal. It's beautiful. And right after the war, we're going to get married.
Is that so? Well, tell me, how soon do you and Waldo plan to share his allotment, Miss Vague?
We can't get married until Waldo gets out of camp. He just put in for a 6-hour pass with 8 days travel time.
Well, If you take my advice, Miss Vague, you'll pass up that gin blotter. Now, really, didn't you meet any nice sailors or soldiers or any Marines that you could go for?
Yes, I did go out with a few soldiers, but last week the Army declared me out of bounds.
Oh.
About those servicemen that I just don't understand.
Now, just what do you mean?
What would you do, Mr. Jessel, if someone came up, grabbed hold of you, squeezed you, and forced kisses on you?
Why, I'd scream for help.
Oh, what a coincidence. That's just what they do.
Thank you, Miss Allen. You listeners have picked a cute little redhead, Ethel Smith, as your favorite organist. When she was featured on the hit parade program, you unloaded tons of fan letters into her mailbox. She was the one, you know, who introduced the hits Tico Tico in Brazil to a palpitating public. Ethel's the only key pounder of a Hammond organ to be featured in movies, Bathing Beauty, for instance. And you go to see her in RKO's George White Scandals and MGM's opus Twice Blessed. She's working in the new Walt Disney picture right now. Ethel is a strange and a wonderful girl. She appeals to the eye, her music appeals to the ear, and goes straight to the heart. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it were also good for the tummy. That's an organ recital, isn't it? Really? And here she is, Ethel Smith, as she plays Liza. Theatrical profession has done in this war is written, in great neon letters will be the name of a little lass from Scotland, Ella Logan. She's probably spent more time overseas entertaining our fighting men than any other star in the show business, including 11 months in the European theater of warfare. Her work has been so outstanding that MGM is producing a picture based on her life. I learned to love Ella Logan. I know her very well personally, and to respect her splendid singing ability when I appeared with her in a few years ago in Showtime, which had the longest run of any variety show on Broadway. And now she's come home to see her kids for just a little while. And then soon she'll be overseas again doing the job that she loves best. Ladies and gentlemen, the statues at the entrance to your Radio Hall of Fame beam with pride at the Elsie Janus of World War II, Ella Logan.
By yon bonny banks and by yon where the sun shines bright on Loch Lomond, where me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny banks of Loch Lomond. So you deck the high road, and I deck the low road. Ah, but I'll be in Scotland.
Oh, it was nothing. Tell me, Ella, how does it feel to be back here in California?
Mighty good, Georgie, mighty good. It was quite chilly in the east, you know.
Yes, I know that.
Ah, but it feels fine to be back here with you and the hot air.
Ah, heaven bless you, little Scotch heart lass. Heaven bless her.
Ah, but really, Georgie, you know, all the lads asked about you over there.
Did they?
Oh, sure. They were very anxious for you to go over to the other side and entertain.
Were they really, Ella?
Do it. I heard many of the boys say, when is Jethro going to come across with something funny?
Should have said that myself. Now, look, if time and ticker, honey, if time and ticker will allow, maybe soon I'll be able to go over with you. And then we could do some of the scenes that we did in Showtime.
Right you are, Georgie. Say, do you remember the little dramatic sketch about the poor little Scotch girl?
I should say so. Let's do that. You know, there are a great many servicemen in the audience here today. Let's see if they're in the mood for a little Scotch. I mean, whimsy, of course. The scene is in a town near Edinburgh, Scotland. Ella is the wife of Sandy. She's waiting for him to come home. He works in the mines. And this is payday.
Aye, come in, Sandy. I'm just preparing your dinner.
Ah, good evening, lass. I'm glad to be home. It was a hard day at the mines, aye. A hard day at the mines, aye.
Aye, Sandy. You know, I hope you're in a generous mood for... Today I was passing Imglick's department store.
Imglick's department store.
Mm-hmm. And I saw the most beautiful dress in the window. Oh, if you'd buy it for me, I'd be the happiest girl in all of Scotland.
Aye, lass, I'd like to make you happy, but I've no money at this time to be buying your dresses. Aye, aye.
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 Aye, 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 aye. Oh, Sandy, Sandy, I want that dress more than anything in all the world. And if you don't buy it for me...
What?
You know what I'll do? I'll walk down to the post office in my undies.
Oh, lass, you're not disgrace my good name by walking down to the post office in your undies.
Aye, to the post office I'll go in my undies.
Very well. Mail this letter for me.
Speaking of letters, George, reminds me of a letter that I received from a fellow in Italy. This boy used to be in show business, but now he's in a different kind of a show over there. But war or no war, there's still an awful lot of ham in this kid. And he asked me to do him a couple of favors for, well, I attended to him. And I'd like to tell you about it. The kid started the letter by saying, "My dear Ella, you don't have to send my greetings to Havana or to a pal on Rio de Janeiro shore. And I told you I was through with that dancer in Peru. And I've written to that dame in Ecuador. But if you'd like to do a little pal a favor, on account of I've been sent across the sea, do this little job. Go around and see them all and ask them all to drop a line to me. Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square. Just tell all the guys on 42nd Street that I will soon be there. Tell them of how I'm yearning to mingle with the old time throng. Just give my regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be there at long. Write and tell me what is playing at the Paramount and who is breaking all the records at the Strand. Say hello to all the guys I know in Lindy. And if you meet a Schubert, shake him by the hand. Give my love to all the kids around the palace and kindly call my agent on the phone. And tell him not to wait, he'd better fix an opening date. I got a feeling that we're coming home. So give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square. And give a pat on the back to all the characters on my Broadway.
Days when all of us must take special care of the things we own to keep them running and make them last. And those products are revealed. In thousands of homes, people have learned some mighty important facts about their Philco refrigerators. They've learned to appreciate its advanced features, like the built-in freezer locker that gives them a huge separate space for food freezing and the storage of frozen foods. But more than that, they have had confirmation of their judgment when they placed their confidence in the Philco name and the quality and dependability of its products. Yes, in these days when day-in and day-out service from your refrigerator is a vital necessity, when you have to depend upon the soundness of its construction and the quality of its manufacture to carry you through, it's a comfort to know that it bears the Philco name, famous for quality the world over. Your Radio Hall of Fame continues after station identification. This is the Blue Network. You are guests of Philco's Radio Hall of Fame, coming to you from the Earl Carroll Theater Restaurant in Hollywood, and which today honors Ella Logan, Vera Vague, Ethel Smith, Kenny Baker, Anita Colby, Paul Whiteman, and your master of ceremonies, George Jessel. Mr. Jessel, front and center.
Right you are, Jimmy. Before I introduce our next Hall of Fame nominee, on behalf of Philco, may I extend heartiest congratulations to the Boy Scouts of America on the 35th anniversary of their founding. And now for beautiful Anita Colby. Anita has been responsible for more sprained ankles than anybody in town. When she walks down the street, those Hollywood wolves trip over their tongues, believe me. Before being signed for a pressing job, Anita was America's ace photographer's model. But that pulchritudinous face of hers is in your Radio Hall of Fame, principally because its owner holds a job which is the only one of its kind in the entire motion picture industry. Her title is Feminine Director Sue Selznick and Vanguard Productions. She's in charge of the styling and grooming of their starlets. She is also the fashion consultant, as well as being a combined talent scout and publicity whiz. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you an expert in feminine loveliness because she is the quintessence of it herself, Miss Anita Colby.
Hello, everyone, and hello, George.
Well, Anita, you're looking beautiful, as usual.
Thank you, and I must say you're looking as usual, too.
Anita, you deserve having your face ballyhooed in all the magazines. Listen, if the Sears Roebuck catalog could offer a product like yours, they'd get more action than Montgomery Ward. You know, Anita, with just a little bit of encouragement, I could go for you.
Oh, George, you say that to everyone.
No, only to girls, Anita. Besides, with your taste for dresses and costumes, you could help me.
How?
Well, I'm producing a picture for 20th Century Fox called The Dolly Sisters. And you're just the one to help me in the purchase of the dresses. You know, Daryl Zanuck told me to spare no expense.
Spare no expense?
Yeah, that's Hollywood for stick to the budget or out you go. Now, I wish you'd help me, Anita. You see, I'm not very familiar with the things that girls wear. As a matter of fact, I was 28 years old before my mother let me look at the clothesline in the YWCA.
Well, first you'd have to tell me what the picture you're producing is about.
Well, that gets the title in again. It's about the Dolly Sisters. They were one of the greatest acts in vaudeville. Vaudeville, that's where I spent some of my best years.
I wondered what happened to them.
Please, Anita, now what kind of a dress would you suggest for the Dolly Sisters to wear in the finale?
Well, it all depends on what you have in mind.
Oh, I want something thrilling, something exotic. Something that when they walk past an orange grove, the smudge pots should light up by themselves.
I see, George. I think I can suggest just the gown. It's very enticing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole dress seems to fuse.
Fuse.
The shoulders melt into the hips, and the hips flow into the legs. And
the shoulders melt into the hips, and the hips flow into the legs?
Yes.
Is this a dress or a meeting of the big three you're talking about? Now, look, honey, I don't think we can settle anything as important as this so quickly. How about you and me having dinner after the show?
Dinner with you, George?
Why, of course.
No, thanks. I'd rather put my money in war bonds. So long, George.
Good afternoon, Anita. Ethel, or Ethel Smith. Tell me, honey, what's the next selection you're going to go to town with on the Hammond organ?
A samba with a Portuguese title, Os Pintinhos no Terreiro.
Mm-hmm. The English translation, does your cigarette taste different lately? It does, huh? You lucky stiff. Well, anyway, gosh, for the past 2 weeks, I've been smoking Ceratan. Say, Ethel. Ethel, have you ever performed this that Zamba thing on the air before?
Oh, I played it, but not all of it was heard by our listeners. You see, the only other time I played Os Pintinhos no Terreiro was sometime back on the hit parade. And right in the middle, a newscaster broke in to announce the American invasion of North Africa.
Hmm.
I only hope that this time somebody breaks in to announce the surrender of Hitler.
I'm sure we all join in that hope. And now Ethel Smith plays Os Pintinhos... You bet your life, Ethel. Go ahead.
Thank you.
time to hear from that grand tenor, Kenny Baker. Being a good tenor isn't the very easiest vocation in the world, which brings to my mind an old, old story of mine. Years ago in the Bronx, a Russian friend of mine had a son who had quite a good tenor voice. But he was the kind of a boy who took nothing seriously. As a matter of fact, he laughed, regardless of the situation. His serious father would say, "Louis, my business is not good. Maybe I'll have to close up the shop." And the son would go, Another occasion, the father would say, "I must tell you that your Uncle Milford fell down 3 flights of its stairs." And the boy would go, And this kept on and on and on. The boy did nothing but laugh. And finally, the old man threw him out of the house. "Get out," he said. "You're a bum. No matter what happens, you're laughing, is it? Never cross by me the threshold again, is it? Get out, you loafer, you laugher, you bum, you." Well, the years passed by, and one day the old man was walking past Carnegie Hall in New York, and he met an old friend. "Well," said the friend, "I suppose you're going in to hear the concert?" The old man said, "What for?" "I said, my goodness," said, "your son Louis is giving a recital." "What?" said the old man. "My son Louis, that bum? It couldn't be. He's up." "Now listen," the friend said, "come in and hear him. He's wonderful." Well, the old man went into Carnegie, sat down in the seat. Sure enough, out came his son in full dress and started his first selection, Canio's Lament from the opera Pagliacci. Recitare mentre appresa l'allirio, non son più quel che dico, è quel che faccio, e una dopo sforza di, sei da. The old man jumped up and he says, "I knew it, he's still a bum." And so, that was me singing. And so, in drastic contrast, we again bring you a young man of whom it is said, when as a boy he sang in the hills of Wyoming, the nightingales hung their heads in shame. Kenny Baker.
Well, thanks for those kind words, George.
Kenny, I know the problems of singers, as a matter of fact, of all performers.
Really?
Oh, my goodness, I was born on the stage.
You were? My goodness, what'd you do for an encore?
You talk like you did with that fellow who didn't pay you. Now, look, Kenny, I'll have you know that my career on the stage has been varied. I have even been in operettas. I used to sing in them.
George,
come now. It's true. I remember once I had to sing opposite a big fat soprano who ate garlic dinners all the time. The first night we appeared together was in the Desert Song.
Delicious. What happened?
Well, the fat soprano started singing "One Alone," and by the second chorus, she was. I think that about ended my singing career. Also, listening to a voice like yours, Kenny, discourages me a bit. So come on, what about another song?
All right, George, how about "I Dream of You"?
I doubt it, but I'd like to hear it. Really, I would.
Completely unaware, dear, that my heart is in your hand. So for love's sake, won't you listen and try to understand that when I am close to you, the world is far away. The words that fill my heart, my lips can't seem to say, I dream of you.
Thank you, Kenny.
And now, Ella Logan, I'd like to congratulate you on the job you've done for the GIs overseas. Now, tell us exactly where you've been.
Oh, I've been to Africa, Tunisia, Malta, Italy, England, Scotland, France.
My goodness, your name's not Ella, it's Eleanor.
Ah, but it was good to work for the fellas, living where they lived, eating where they ate. I got so I could eat anything as long as it wasn't on a shingle. And you know, George, those soldiers have a wonderful sense of humor.
You bet they have a wonderful sense of humor. I know what you mean, sir. Last week I was in a camp near Fresno, and some of the guys woke up very early in the morning, and they put ketchup in the bugler's trumpet.
What happened?
Well, 5 minutes after he blew reveille, Gabriel Heater announced the Red Army had advanced as far as San Diego. But, Ella, not only have you won the admiration of the boys over there, but you have no idea how the people in our respective profession salute your great work of going back and forth from Lindy's and the Brown Derby to the battlefronts of France and Italy, and believe me, that's a big jump. Every place I've been, everybody speaks your praises. I know that if Al Jolson were here, and he would be if he were all well again, he'd say, Ella, I got some compliments for you. Ha ha. If you heard him, you'd swell up like a little cuckoo. Listen, you ain't heard nothing yet. Listen. California, here I come, right back where I started from. To greet her, to meet her, she is the top. Oh, Ella, so swella, you're a Glasgow lollipop. And you and me, we've got a date. You know that I can hardly wait. Meet me at that Golden Gate. California, here I come. And if Eddie Cantor were here, he'd say, listen, Ella, all the world knows I got 5 daughters. They order, I talk about them every week. But listen, I'd be satisfied to have another girl if she was like you. Believe me, I would. If you knew Ella like I know Ella, you'd know how sweet she is. There's no one cuter than this Scotch scooter. From here to Europe, she's a fast commuter. GIs love her, to them she's a pal. The Nazis hate her, cause she builds up the boys' morale. And for Miss Logan, I sing this slogan. Oh, oh, what a girl! Somewhere on high, way up on high, I see a little fellow waving an American flag at you. Yes, it's George M. Cohan. Over there, quite a few times she flew over there. Say, when the tanks were crawling and the bombs were falling, this kid kept singing on the square. Yes, she did. Now she's home, back from Rome. We all know she did more than her share. You'd better quit now, stay home and knit now. But she says, I'll stay here when it's over, over there. This month, we celebrate the birthday of a great man. He is dead, yet not really dead. For an immortal part of him lives on in his music. And so his music comes into your Radio Hall of Fame. And with his music, his spirit. Paul Whiteman knew him well. Paul played in his orchestra, conducted. And the last thing that he wrote, the suite of 4 serenades, he wrote for Paul's first jazz concert at Carnegie Hall. And I knew him, too. When I was a kid, I sat on his lap. And he told me stories about Ireland, where he was born. He was born in Ireland. He had the Irish gift for melody, but he wrote for all the world. So today we pay tribute to a man who was of the past, but his music is of the past, the present, and the future, Victor Herbert. Thank you. hour span, and so we part as we began, good friends. And I speak not only for myself, but for Ella Logan, Kenny Baker, Ethel Smith, Vera Vague, Anita Colby, Matty Melnick, and Paul Whiteman. As a friendly tip, I'm sure you won't want to miss nearing next week's program, when the initiates into your Radio Hall of Fame will be Bob Hope, Judy Canova, Janet Blair, and three of the featured comics from the Duffy's Tavern program, Eddie Green, Bob Graham, and Charles Cantor. And so this is Georgie Jessel saying thank you and good day to you.
And so until next week, when from the Earl Carroll Theater Restaurant in Hollywood, more stars made great by your recognition will be brought to you by your Radio Hall of Fame, this is Jimmy Wallington on behalf of Philco Corporation bidding you good afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, during wartime, a country runs the full scale of emotions. This is the Blue Network.